this Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Alrighty, teens, queens, girls in blue jeans, coming to you from a very happy hurricane hideout on Long Island. This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And your crew for this flight is none other than Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Hey, Chris, how are you this week?
Oh, we're doing very well here. We're wearing our galoshes here in the basement.
Right.
waiting for the waves of water to come crashing through. But so far, we've been okay up in the Great Nutmeg State, so hasn't been so bad. We've been just chatting between the raindrops and actually seeing a little bit of clearing, but still, it's still raining, but it's not so bad. Not so bad. A lot better than what they reported last night, that's for sure. So, yes, here at Hurricane Central North.
I like to call it our happy hurricane hideout because we've all hunkered down. And, you know, this storm was – listen, I just spent a couple of weeks in the South where it's Hurricane Central. And then I come home to a hurricane warning. So, like,
you did.
Yeah.
You brought it with you. You know, Florida called. They want their hurricane back.
I know. Believe me, I'll send it to them, too. So,
yeah, exactly. But hey, we have a show. Everybody's home now, right? No one is doing anything, so they can call us. And yes, we have even here at Hurricane Central, we do have a phone line. The hurricane line is 516-256-9510.
Right.
So write it down. 516-256-9510 to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio to discuss how to bail out your car of all kinds of water and swamp little fishy gooey things. So
if you don't have a pen, do like my girlfriend of 40 more years ago did to my Pontiac, scratch it into the Bondo on the quarter panel. You remember it infinitum. Yeah. Oh,
I'm sure that date didn't last long.
That relationship didn't last that long. Yeah. Long enough.
I was going to say minutes after she performed that action.
You know what? At that time, it did. I looked past that back then.
I could see the contorted look on your face. You're reliving it, painful moment after moment.
Yeah, I call it fixed someday. So now, 40 some odd years later, it finally did get fixed.
Right, it finally got fixed. That's for sure. Right. 516-256-9510. Don't scrape it into race paint.
Not now. Now you're in trouble.
Not going to be very happy. I got to ask you a question. You know, something has been bothering me for this last couple of weeks. And you had sent me one time a couple of weeks ago an ad for a 64 Cadillac convertible that was reasonably priced. And we realized the reason for that was that it was motoring around with a 350 Chevy motor in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to you, blasphemy, that's the 429 is a fantastic motor. Why would anybody want to yank that fine, upstanding motor out and drop a plebeian Chevrolet motor into a fine car like that? Well, let me tell you something, my good man, my longtime radio colleague, that there was a good friend of mine that still is a good friend of mine, has a 67 Cadillac that I think we've been talking about off air that he's been having some trouble with.
Uh-huh.
And there was one thing that he had a significant amount of trouble with the 429 was with a water pump. One day he was under the hood and he grabbed hold of the fan, just like we would all do, and just tried to rock it back and forth to do a water pump check. That's how you would basically check it. And he says the fan moved back and forth, gave him a little thump, 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 and he went up, bearing's going bad. This thing is going to start leaking any minute now. So he called up Cantor Auto Products. Uh-huh. And they said they had a remanufactured brand new water pump to send to him. He was like, whoop-de-doo, send it to me. So he has it sent to him. He takes it to his mechanic, and his mechanic goes to install the water pump on the car and then finds out, to his dismay, that it didn't fit by milli-inches. Now, mind you, there's a water spout that comes through the top. There's a on the 429 coming out of the heads is a pipe that runs into the center and then down and provides coolant to the top of the water pump. Well, that thing was off by about, I think he mentioned, like a half an inch. So there was no way this was all going to go together smoothly. So what he had to do was he had to find an NOS one quickly, very quickly. So we actually called one of our old Cadillac parts guys from way back in the 80s. His name was Ted Holcomb. And he calls Ted and said, Ted, do you have anything for me? Ted said, I'm retired now. Wow. He says he still dabbles in parts, but he says, I'm basically retired. He was getting calls like 24 hours a day for Cadillac parts. He says, I couldn't handle the load. He says, but he still has parts and had the water pump. But my friend needed it literally that day. He had to drive to Pennsylvania, pick up the pump, drive back with it to hand it back to his mechanic to have the car put back together again. And since it was an NOS one, it went for some money.
Yeah.
Do you know how much he paid for it?
You know, seeing what parts have cost recently, NOS stuff, particularly that neutral safety switch on the Caddy, I'll go a little conservative and say $350.
$700.
Yeah. See, it was conservative. Half price. Wow.
That's on sale. $700. Yeah.
You said there was a 66 Caddy?
Or 67.
Seven.
Yeah. So now if you think about it, whomever put that 350 Chevy motor in that Caddy.
Yeah.
Is looking smarter and smarter every day.
You know, there are rebuilders of stuff like that. And we had guys on the show. I'm not going to give out the name because the business has changed names. And I don't know if they're doing all that. I think they maybe restructured what they were doing. They're out here in Kings Park on Long Island. But water pumps are one of the things that were rebuildable. And they're easily rebuilt because you just separate the impeller, pull the shaft, there's a bearing. And unless the thing is totally waffled out with the bearing ate the housing, you literally clean it, press in a new bearing, reassemble it, you're done. So
you can do that. And there is machinery that is available to you that you can do that. But to a lot of the folk, 90-95% people, just making up a number, that's impossible to accomplish.
Well, yeah, I can't say that I know anybody who, and I've never rebuilt my own water pump. I never had to because they were cheap. You know, you just buy another one. You know,
right.
But like you said, you know, when the parts aren't available, and this is where we're going now with these cars that are older. Just this weekend, I was dealing with a gentleman, a good friend Cliff sent the guy my way with a beautiful C369 Corvette 427 convertible side pipe car, gorgeous. And he had carburetor problems. So I was helping him out over the last few days, and he had bought a carburetor from a reliable rebuilder online and had a problem with it. It was like he shut the car off, it would dump gas in after he shut it off, and it was smoking. And you know, he could send it back to them. They said, yeah, send it back to us, but we didn't actually rebuild it. We have to send it to the rebuilder. It's going to be, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. He's like, well, then the season's over. So
I was going to say, and it showed up back in your garage.
So he called me, right? Well, actually, he called me before I went away, and then he did a few things, and now when I got back, you know, I helped him out and took that carburetor apart over the last 2 days. And I determined the car had an internal vacuum leak because it was pulling fuel and the idle mixture screws weren't responding.
Oh.
So that's indicative of an internal leak. And, okay, you know, now you're doing forensics and trying to find something that is amiss. And the only thing I found besides the top plate and the bottom base plate looked beautiful, looked brand new, in fact. Ooh. But the main body, there was pockmarked metal. It was all kind of rough. You know, it had been blasted. So I'm checking it with the straight edge and seeing some inconsistency, some flat filing it to try and make it flat.
Wow.
And then what I saw was I really looked at the gaskets close, and then the lower gasket, it just kind of didn't cover one little window of a passage. So I went into my parts stash. I have Tupperware bins by carburetor type, and I went into the Quadrajet Rochester bin, and I got a stack of gaskets, and I brought them outside, and I one by one laid them up, and I found one that covered that area. And I said, you know, I'm really shooting at ducks here. I don't know if that's going to do it or make a difference, but we're going to see. And we had this conversation about how as these cars are getting older, we don't think of them as being older.
No.
But the parts are unobtainium. And he said he tried getting an original carburetor for this thing, and you know, you couldn't find it. Or if you do, guys want like $2,000.
Yeah, of course. And that's what people are paying for these things now, which is
right.
Extraordinary when you think about it. But mind you, that carburetor has been sitting on someone's shelf for the last 25 years. And now, what kind of condition is that carburetor in most of the time when you pull it down off the shelf after sitting in a, what, hopefully in cool, dry storage for all that time? do you drop it on the car and fire it up and happy motoring? I mean,
you know, because
how the gaskets or something like that.
Well, you know, if they were never exposed to fuel, then they're not going to shrink or anything. Mm-hmm. And here's an interesting thing that happened, and it kind of contradicts what I'm going to say now. I was going to say the accelerator pumps on those are like they're not really Viton. But like the old ones, the original, like some of the original cars were leather. It was a leather pump.
Yes.
You know, but these, all the modern ones from the 60s are kind of like looks like a neoprene, you know, fuel resistant, rubbery plastic.
Right.
So they're fine as long as they're not exposed. So case in point, I took that carburetor apart and it had been on a car, had fuel in it. I just laid the accelerator pump on my bench. It was brand new. It had been replaced. I put it in the next day. After I had the JB Weld, the jet passages closed. That's something you just always do in a Quadrajet. So you had to wait overnight. So the next day, I put it together. I put the pump in, and I give it a couple of pushes in its bore. And it felt a little sticky. So I sprayed a little bit of Silicroil in there, or Aerocroil, just to give it a little lubricant. And it still felt, well, I put the carburetor together. You work the throttle, and the accelerator pump arm would push down on the pump. And then when you release the accelerator, the pump should follow it right back up.
Sure. But
the pump did this, and it came up slowly.
Came up slow.
I showed him this. I said, listen, I can't explain this. I said, usually when a pump has been exposed to fuel and you let it sit out, it dries and it shrinks. It's almost like this one got bigger.
Right.
But it looked absolutely pristine. I said, now I've sprayed this thing and I'm hoping it's not going to be an issue. If it is, we're going to have to go back in. I've never seen that before. And I've been doing carburetors since the 70s. You know, I've been doing this since I'm a teenager. I've never seen that. I've seen them where they were like almost sloppy and didn't have enough pressure to
sure.
move fuel, but I've never seen it do that. So God knows. And, the person in charge of this car, he's actually listening to the show. So, Tom, thanks for tuning in. So, you know, we're working around a couple other things. But the point was that we were talking about the older parts, you know, where do you get them? I mean, Corvettes were prone to that years ago with the brakes, the brake calipers. The pistons would just seize. So stainless steel brake came out with a workaround and sort of Master Power back in the 80s for that one.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
But the carburetor issues and ignition point, you know, we talked about points the other day.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is now, it's almost like the Wild West of auto repair. I got one, you're going to love this. This, you got to take this job. At the shop, I got a call. There's a car that came in, and it's owned by a guy who has a lot of cars. He's got a museum, and he bought this car to just drive around the Hamptons with.
Right.
It's an 83 Chrysler LeBaron. Right up your driveway.
It's a refrigerator lying on its side. That's what it is.
I pictured beige with wood grain, right?
Right.
I saw the car. It's black with the wood grain. It looks kind of cool. It's got, you know, a black top, leather interior, but right. It's got the 2.6 liter four-cylinder in it, the big motor.
With the carburetor?
And yes, and the carburetor needs to be done. And my research...
Sell the car.
My research just showed that it's a Mikuni. But the problem is it's got more vacuum lines than New York City has steam lines.
Yes, they are notorious. They were notorious in the 80s for being hard to tame.
I've been tasked with removing this and rebuilding it. And I said, I thought you liked me. This is, send this one to Chris. Let him do it. It's an old Chrysler. He loves those cars.
Raymond.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I'll take five flaky quadrant jets over one.
Yes, you will be tapping into all of your carburetor knowledge to solve this problem. And I suggest we tape the show and put it up as a separate entity on the Motormouth Radio site, because people will be with these cars will be flocking to this show in droves if you can figure this out.
The rebuild isn't even the issue. It's the it's really getting it off with all the lines and getting all the lines back intact. That's going to be the chore of this, because there's a ton of them.
I'm sure.
So. Yeah, these are the things that now are occupying me. But, you know, I look at it like it's another challenge. You step up to the challenge, and you try. And, you know, I try to look at everything as a little problem. You know, break it up into little problems, solve them at one at a time instead of the big thing. Like with this Corvette, the fellow who owns it had replaced the fuel lines with stainless steel lines. Okay. So they look nice. But the nut up that goes into the carburetor fitting, he couldn't get that off. So that nut got mangled. So now... You know, he wants to replace it, and we were talking about, you know, he asked if we could cut the line and put a new, I said, yeah, but to flare stainless steel is ridiculously hard.
Yes.
I don't even know if my flaring tool will do it. So now we're discussing options to that, and one of them is, like I did on my car, aluminum, an aluminum 3/8 line.
Okay.
You know, you can bend it, you can flare it. You could flare it with, like, if you had a big enough ball bearing and a press, you could flare it. You know, it's so easy to do.
Yeah, sure.
Not a double flare, it's just a single flare. And then you can even...
What? Ray!
No. It's a...
In the words of Chuck, Ray, you got a double flare.
Not a fuel line. No, fuel lines are single flared. They're always single flared because the mating is a single flare.
Okay.
Actually, if you double flared a fuel line, it wouldn't seal. Just like if you single flared a brake line, it wouldn't seal. So, and again, and the aluminum, you could actually polish that if you wanted to. I know Lynch taught me that trick. You could polish the aluminum and make it look bright if you want.
Takes a while, but yes, you could do it. Sure. Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned to this fellow, I said, you know, I stay away from that. But a friend of mine was doing that years ago on a buffing wheel. And tubing is a killer because it'll grab. It'll grab. And when it flips around, I mean, it's – my friend got – millimeters from his eye. I mean, just gashed his.
Yeah, it'll hurt you.
Eye. Yeah, tubing is very, very tough to deal with like that with a buffing wheel. But it's all just a matter of, you know, now we're at the point of like forensic. You know, Tony DeFeo, Uncle Tony's Garage was talking about this in a recent video, how we now have to be like detectives and figure out not only diagnose the problem, but now figure out how to fix it and where to get the parts. And, you know, I'm a big fan of using old original parts, even if it's not pristine and perfect. At least I know it was an original part that was made by the manufacturer.
Agreed. No, I totally am with you. And it doesn't have to look perfect. It has to function perfectly. And those are, to me, the best types of parts that function perfectly are the ones that were made by the manufacturer. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. Like that, like your switch, like your light switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's true. But it's the thing that I'm concerned about is that it's going to start to look like Havana, Cuba in the next 20 years, where you're going to have like a Russian carburetor on mated to some sort of Soviet Trident engine that's driving your Cadillac. That's the three doors on the car don't open. It's going to like turn into that.
And Volga carburetor and
a, right.
and a Vauxhall transmission on your Volvo.
Right. And that's why when I think about that ad that you showed me with the Chevy powered Cadillac and go, someone is foreseeing the future here. where you can enjoy your vehicle and almost trouble free if you think about it.
No two ways about it. There's a hell of a lot more small block Chevys out there than Caddy 429s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I have to laugh. I was watching just real fast. I was watching a Jay Leno episode. He had a 62 Maserati that had a problem with the French gearbox in the car. Mm-hmm. And he put, yeah, it was like a Pont de Mousson transmission, French transmission. Right. And he said it made the car difficult to drive. So he pulled it out and bolted in a Tremec. And right. He says the car is now a joy to drive. And he really didn't care about the purists that were like scoffing at him, saying that the car is no longer original. He wanted to enjoy it. And that I understand. I get that. That to me is fine. But
yeah,
first of all, you need the unlimited funds that he has which will solve any problem.
Oh, throw
money at it. But still, that's a caveat.
That's actually become a common fix. I mean, I have a Tremec in my car. You know, years ago, it would have been a rich man's game. Now, I mean, I'm not going to say it was cheap by any means. It wasn't dirt cheap, but it was affordable in that what it gave me, it's worth the money. You know, so sure. Those Tremecs, those 5-speeds, I mean, that's kind of like, and most guys are doing the 6-speeds. They're doing that. I'm glad I do a 6-speed. One overdrive is enough for me too much at times, but really does make a big, big improvement on an older car. It's
I'm sure
just night and day.
Yeah, there are parts and there are accessories and there are techniques that will make that older car drivable. I get that. But a lot of times it's the original parts. But my point being is we now, as owners of these vehicles, have to become more and more innovative as the cars get older and older.
Right.
And that's something that may be a hard pill to swallow.
That's where Tony was going. We have to become like the magician / you got to be able to make stuff out of like the stuff that we've done all our lives. The other guys have to learn how to do that if they want to stay on the road.
Right. Or,
you know, there's not as many shops now working on old cars where guys who know those tricks work. Because let's face it, we're getting older. We're retiring. We're giving it up. You know, we're doing other things. I actually plan to do that into the next phase of my life, but you know, as a sideline type of thing, because A, I like doing it, and B, right. there's a lot of benefit when you can help someone out with the knowledge and the tricks that you've learned, and it just, you know, it's kind of like a self preservation thing. It kind of like lets you know, like, okay, I'm still able to contribute. I'm still able to do stuff.
Have value.
Yeah, things that other people not necessarily can't do.
You are not just a co-host of a mediocre talk show that could be easily replaced by some obscure gardening show. No! You are a man that has value.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. The other thing you can do if you want to have some fun, this will be next week, August 29th, our own club, the Centurion Cruisers, is doing a show, but it's also put on by the Police Surgeons Benefit Association. Actually, that they have the byline for this. And it's fraternally with the Centurion Cruisers Car Club. And this is at your favorite high school out in South Huntington. Remember?
Jerry Lee Lewis High School.
No, remember?
Elvis Presley High School.
No?
Sydney!
Right. St. Anthony's High School, 275 Wolf Hill Road, South Huntington. And there's going to be cars, trucks, street rods, muscle cars, police and fire service vehicles, antiques, all sorts of stuff out there. And, of course, it is it's a benefit show. Starts at 9 a.m. Our good friend and compadre, Billy Velvet, you know, Billy G is going to be – he's now a member of the Centurion Cruisers.
Great.
As is Tom with the Corvette, right. Billy's going to be handling the parking details out there, so you better watch out because he knows how to park cars.
He does. That man is a number one when it comes down to moving metal. That is for sure.
Moving around. That's right. So that's next weekend. You may want to get out there. All proceeds go to the family of NYPD officer Anastasios Tassos, who was killed in the line of duty just not too long ago. It was a terrible thing. So again, they always give back. You know, they give back to the people who they care for. So
a great organization and a great group and a great club.
Right. Get out there and do that. So,
Very cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Things are still happening.
Have you been showing your car at all? Have you been pulling it out of the garage and dusting it off and showing it off lately?
You know, not to any shows, just been over some cruise nights. You know, just went down to Belmore a few weeks ago with Kilowatt Kevin. We go to the East Rockaway cruise night because that's one of our favorite little small dump holes in the world to go to.
You go see friends and and enemies.
Right.
Old ex-girlfriends. I know.
Now, you know what? It's we both lived there, and I grew up there, and Kevin lived there for a long time, too. And it's, you know, it's like you go back home. You know, it's local. It's, you know, it gives us a few towns to drive to. We go, you know, it's not like the one that's right in town. You get to drive a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit. And, you know, and then we get to go to Wendy's and get a, you know, frosty shake and french fries. So, get our health food. But,
ladies and gentlemen, Ray Guarino being 18. Right here. There you go.
And what about you? Have you taken out any of your fleet? I mean, the Chrysler, I'm sure. I know people love seeing that, you know, the big one. I know they love seeing that when you take it out.
Big one. Yeah, I've had it out a couple of times. And we went to a car show recently, my cousin and I, and it was one of those car shows that was almost it was like exclusive. It was like an old boy network kind of car show. So it was kind of interesting. There was a lot of very, very nice metal out there, and everybody kept walking past my car, which was they walked past the one like it's just a big Chrysler C body. It was not my league. Let's put it that way. But hey, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because there were other people that had no classic car at all, so it didn't matter to me. And I've come to realize I actually don't mind that. You know, there's some people that kind of they get all bent out of shape. I don't care because I enjoy it, and that's all that matters.
Well, I do know what is classic, and I do know what people do like about this show, and it is our bottom of the hour break. So I need to know if we have an honor group of the hour today.
Of course, Ray. Does the Pope stuff in the woods or whatever have you? Yes, of course we have the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And here it is. When you put others in your vehicle and you end up with their debris. I'll explain. Have you ever ridden with your wife or significant other and find crumpled pieces of paper in the cup holders or a half-full bottle of water in the door? Have you ever traveled with children just to find cookie crumbs, french fries, or melted Skittles after they've left? Have you ever wanted to hose some of your friends down to wash off their dirt before placing them in your vehicle? Well, if you're in charge of automotive trash detail, after the friends and family have gone from the car, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Get your vacuum cleaner. All right. So with that, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio after this. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
At Wide Track Town, they've got the Pontiac Tigers, GTO and Pontiac Le Mans. These pussycats are tame when you own one. But if you say go sick 'em, your tiger understands and you'll go riding round in your Pontiac. Driving's a joy with a cat so alive, riding round in your Pontiac. Pontiac for 1965.
An Asian proverb says, he who rides tiger often winds up inside one. American version, he who even looks at tiger often ends up inside one. If it's a genuine Pontiac tiger, like the GTO or Le Mans, these tigers have beautiful individual markings and a range of dispositions, from high-spirited to absolutely ferocious. So if you haven't priced a tiger lately, check the ones at your Pontiac dealers before the sun goes down.
Pontiac for 1965.
Okay.
Yo.
Tell your friends about the NASA Morning Madhouse. Hear what you're missing.
Check it out.
You ever seen a dead body?
You know, I haven't.
You never went to a funeral?
Are you serious?
We see a cold one all the time.
A cold one. It's not a beer, Jimmy.
I love funerals because I get to speak at the podium.
What? Like,
we're going to miss dear Bradley. He was loved by many. He survived by his own.
Wait, time out. Do you like, you're not.
You know how people crash weddings?
You crash a funeral?
You crash funerals?
For good reason. I just want to speak.
Oh my God.
Wait, hold on. Is this a joke?
And no one asks you, like, who you are?
I get looks, but then I'm in and out, seriously. I would never show up to a mob funeral. Like, that's respect. You gotta, you know.
That's respect. I don't respect these guys.
Vanessa Morning Madhouse. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9. Yeah. On the voice of Nassau Community College. 90.3 WHPC.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and car guys, we are back with more Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive advisory show for all things automotive, motorcyclage, things that run, breathe, belch, burn gas, spin on your ceiling, wash your clothes. We get into trouble with all this stuff, and we're here to talk to you. You can give us a call if you want. How can they do that, Chris?
Yes, we can annoy the automotive world at least three listeners at a time by calling us at 516-256-9510. Right. Do something else with your finger, 516-256-9510. It's the basement line, the hurricane line, right here for you at Motormouth Radio, because we are a full-service automotive talk show that caters to you. Yes, you. We cater to you here at Motormouth Radio, and that's what makes me proud. It makes me gush. It makes me overflow with something. I have no clue, but I'm overflowing right now.
All right, Gusher. I'm going to tell you something else. This is great. I'm going to make a post on our social media platforms, of course, on Twitter and the web and Facebook. We're Motormouth Radio. And on Instagram, Joe's favorite, we're on real_Motormouth Radio. I'm just too lazy since I got back to do this. I'm just like not 100% up to speed. So, yes, I see we may have a call coming in.
Yeah, let's see who this is. Hi, you're on the Motormouths.
Guess who?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, hello. What's up, brother?
What's going on? Little cracklies and dropouts. How you doing?
All right, good, Mark. Doing well. How are you?
This is Mark.
This is Mark.
I don't know.
What's going on,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I know the basement. Huh? You got flooded down there?
No, our basements are dry.
Wanted to comment on the carburetor stories before.
Yeah, sure.
I'm hearing all sorts of interesting stuff. Know. Anyway.
This is technology at its worst. So
well, I'm hearing
you to you now. Let's just roll with it.
It's a beautiful thing. It's technology, boy, it's amazing. Anyway, back in the day with my 74, 74 RX2, back in the day.
Yeah.
It had a four-barrel carb, as you know.
Yes.
And it would always open up, say, around towards the end of the power range, you know? And I went back to Mazda with it, and they said, no, they're all like that. That's the way they are. So, I mean, what point of, you know, is having a four-barrel carburetor if the thing opens up around, you know, like 5,000 RPMs, whatever. And so I looked at it, and it's, you know, it's all mechanical in those days. And the linkages I was looking at it, and I was able to bend this part of the linkage out of the way and move a piece over it, then bend the linkage back, which basically turned it into, you know, instead of a vacuum, mechanical. So anywhere about halfway down on the pedal, and you felt it, you know, and the four-barrel would just open up. And it was the fastest RX2 around that was stuck.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. Yep. You know,
and
secondaries
that
coming.
People says, no, it's just the way it is, you know. Vacuum is designed to open up at a certain RPM.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting, so, because you're attached to a rotary engine at that point. I'm surprised that they're opening up the four-barrel so late in the power band.
It was maybe it was 4,000 or 5,000. It was quite high, mm-hmm. You know. And when it finally did open up with the vacuum, felt it. I mean, it was like, you know, like you were pushed back in the seat for the most part. Not like a bed or anything, but you know,
on a rotary, which is pretty incredible.
right
to push back in the seat.
Yeah, no. Hey, look, I got to tell you, That RX2 was probably the best car I ever owned. Hardly ever, ever a problem with it. Until this girl put it into a tree in front of Jericho High School.
Oh, I don't do it.
We're having like problems with girlfriends here at Motorman Radio.
And cars.
Yeah, I got to tell you, well, that was a long, long time ago. And that car's in rotary heaven now.
Right.
Glad you guys are back on the air without the hurricane. And that's it.
All right, Mark, brother. Thanks for the call.
Just wanted to share that lousy story with you.
No, never lousy stories. Not on this program. You know that.
My goodness. All right, guys. Have a good day. Stay dry, huh?
All right. Talk to you soon. Be safe. Bye-bye. That's right. Be like Mark. Call the basement line, 516-256-9510. When the water reaches our lower lip, we're going to tell somebody.
I promised I would do this, so I have to do this. One of the things that we wanted to do when we were down south was I wanted to have a bagel. And of course, we had coffee, and I wanted to have pizza because I wanted to have I wanted to see what everybody was talking about. I wanted to see what everybody was talking about with how bad the pizza is and how bad the bagels are. So we did get a bagel, and it was, you know, it tasted okay, but it was just kind of, we realized it was just kind of doughy. So it was like, the bagels weren't New York standard. But we kept seeing these little pizzerias, and I never got a chance. We just couldn't fit it into our day to have the pizza.
Right.
But when we were at our good friend Mike's house and on the last days of the trip, we were there long enough, and he says, "Hey, listen, how about you two? You know, if I stay for dinner?" He goes, I'll get a pizza. I was like, "Great." He goes, "Oh, well, you're really jazzed." I'm like, "Yeah, I've been waiting to have bad pizza because I really want to see how bad it can be so I can comment firsthand." And he goes, "Well, you're in for a bad time because we got great pizza down here. Like, you're in North Carolina. Like, what the heck?" Well, anyway.
No, the standards have dropped.
Okay. Mike goes out and he gets a pizza pie and brings it back. And I got to say, he went to this pizza. If you didn't have to blindfold me, but even if you did, I looked at the pizza and I said, "Wow, it looks like a New York pizza." I said, "Okay, so that's where that ends." I picked it up, took the first bite, and I went, "Damn, this tastes like a New York pizza. This does not taste like what I thought."
Wow.
And I have to say, I asked him, "Where did you get this pie?" And it's a place called Amalfi's Pizza in Conover, North Carolina, on the corner of Highway 16 and 70. And Londo is the guy. He is the artisan, the chef, the creator, the brilliance that can create a pizza that tastes like a New York pizza. And I do believe he maybe had some northern
I would think he had some northern exposure, yes.
Yeah, but you see, that's what I've heard. I've heard that even if a guy comes from New York and opens a store, the materials aren't really the same.
The water, the dough, the yeast.
Yeah. I don't know, listen, but whatever Londo does and did, perfect. Multi. Really? Beautiful. Tutte bene, I should say.
I'm gonna call down there and get a pizza and send it back up to Connecticut because we're still lacking in the pizza department up here.
So and you have you have Little Italy in not far from your house. There is a Little Italy in Connecticut.
Yeah.
What the heck town was that? Right down by Yale, by the university.
New Haven,
just north of 95.
Small little place, not too significant.
I'm from Connecticut, where do I know? two blocks north of 95 is Little Italy, and I've been there twice with Mike and the guys, and just to have pizza.
And you keep sending me these pictures of oddly shaped pizzas that look very scary for some reason.
They
look like something out of a horror show. Yeah,
they do some crazy shaped pizzas, I'll agree.
Yeah.
The one place did what it was like, you know. It was like oval, and then they cut it with it's like mosaic, you know, the way.
Yeah, exactly. It's no.
But it tasted good. So that was, you know.
You guys were hungry.
We certainly were. We certainly were. So, I had to say that. So Londo gets my deepest and warmest esteem and gratitude because the pizza was fantastico.
Okay.
Just wanted to sell that myth. And I'm going to put a post up, and it's just a picture of a piece of pizza, but, you know, I will give him his due on social media.
Very good. 516-256-9510 and comment on Ray's culinary southern pizza story, if you will. Because we like to cover all topics here at Motor Mouth Radio, and automotive people and aficionados do like their pizza.
Well, you got to eat.
You got to eat.
And I did forget to say that our break was brought to us by the SPCA, by the way, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Audiences. So we we're bound to say that. Because...
Do you want me to pick this? What do you want me to do with this?
They get their piece. So
516-256-9510. Yeah.
So we were talking off air about your Chrysler and the issue you're having with your headlights.
Yes. So my gosh.
You have something on the run.
I do. I have the motor has is geared to an affair at the top of the motor that operates a cam that will switch a relay one way or switch it the other way. So the motor does one revolution and trips another cam, which will open the doors, connects two ends together and opens the doors. And then when you go to shut the door, it spins the motor to the cam, goes the other way and trips another, I guess you could say another cam, and then trips that door. So we're in the process of trying to get this thing to work. Right. Because the cams, I'm having trouble with the cams. So I went and ordered another motor from my good friend Charlie in Tennessee, and he sent me a motor that literally looks like it came from the bottom of a river. I mean, it probably did. It's like split at the bottom. It hardly turns, but the motor is still intact. So for the price of this non-working motor, I'm going to pull it apart just to see where the cams are supposed to be. And let's go to the phones and let's go to the fun. And let's say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouth.
Hello? Yeah, I'm calling into the show.
Yeah, yes. Dan. You got Chris and Ray.
Hey, Dan.
Hello?
Dan, can you hear Ray?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can hear you, Ray.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Dan, we can hear you.
Yes. I know, it's horrible. But listen,
I know.
I got to tell you, you're on my favorite subject. You're talking about pizza?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Dan, we can hear you. Just, continue. Right.
I tell you, I had the best pizza in my whole life. My whole life, by far. Unbelievable pizza. I was in Italy for a few weeks. They just came back.
Nice.
In a small town in the Umbria section of Italy. It was, in fact, I'm going to send you a photo, right? It was absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable, you know?
Fantastic. Pizza in Italy. Who'd have thought?
Unbelievable. I got to tell you, the food there was just amazing. I would probably gain about 100 pounds in a month. You know,
now this is from a guy who literally just lost a bunch of weight.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. But
wow, very good, Dan. Very good, excellent.
The connection's not the greatest. So
I know. I'm
losing you guys.
Yeah, that's why we call this the basement.
And then what I did was also, you would love this. I got photos. I toured the Guari Museum. There's two of them. You know.
Wow.
And just absolutely unbelievable.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Nice. Did you come back with a Ferrari, Dan? I know Dan, one of the cars Dan says he would like to have an older Ferrari.
I'm losing you guys, so.
Yeah. So, all right, Dan.
You lost, Dan.
Yeah, the phone connection is less than perfect today. It is absolutely not. And, you know, I guess with the storm may be bad somewhere, and we are going through internet lines, so I'm sure that's what's causing the problem.
We're trying our best here at Motor Mouth Radio. We're mediocre. We are reaching our mediocre goal here at Motor Mouth Radio.
And we're barely hitting it. Barely.
We have our finger on the pulse of the technological community or somewhere near it. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
516-256-9510. Let's sit there and go back and forth going, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Sounds good. 516-256-9510. Yeah. But yeah, so the headlight motor issue is really perplexing me, and it's a perfect example of where to of the difficulty of finding parts.
Uh-huh.
And I literally have to spend a good chunk of change to get this motor so I can pull it apart to know where those cams sit.
Right.
Because my cams were all messed up. That's why the motor wasn't working. I mean, it was running, but it was only going one direction, not in the other. So that's why I had to pull it all apart, and I found one of the cams was backwards. I'm like, I'm trying fitting it in different ways and putting it back together again and running it, and it's only running halfway and not the other way. So I need to know the right way to align the cams. And going, using the book, because you had sent me some valuable information. The information that you sent me was from, I would say, probably a shot manual from a later.
It was from a factory service manual from 73. And I was going to ask that if that information wasn't really helpful or conclusive, I don't know what would be.
It was more helpful than the shot manual that I have from 69, which didn't have any of that. Any of the information that you sent me was not in my shot manual, because I'm thinking, oh, Ray sent me this stuff from a later model manual. I probably have it in mine.
Nope.
Wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I was going off your manual and the assembly procedure, and it wasn't working.
Okay.
So I don't know what the problem is, but it's gotten to that point where it's just turned into trial and error. It's just turned, now we're stepping into Mr. Wizard's laboratory at this point to try and figure out why these cams, because now it's a mechanical issue.
You're going to run an extra long choke cable to each one and just pull it like, the choke cables.
Yeah, exactly. And pop the headlight doors and then push the choke cables in to close them.
And let me tell you, and you know, we are dating ourselves by even using the term choke cables.
Yes, or headlight doors.
Because people have no idea what choke cables.
It's true. It's very true. I'm trying to think of the newest car, the most recent car that's still operates a choke cable. I can't even think of one that's in the 70s. It would probably, you know what's kind of funny? It would probably be, like Mark says, it would probably be a Mazda. It would probably be an RX-7, I think.
I don't know if they even, I think they're more modern than that. If you had a carburetor with a vacuum secondary, I would imagine it had a more modern choke.
Mine did. I think I had an 81 Mazda. I think it should have a choke.
All right.
I think it did. It had something, if I remember, on the day. That was just not a strange car, but it was a car that was just a little left to center. So if there was one that would have had it, it would have been that one.
Yeah.
But it's like what Mark was saying on the phone about the carburetor and the rotaries having a kick to it. The rotaries, I never remember having any torque themselves. Mark may beg to differ, but I'm sure he would. But mine didn't.
Right.
I had the small 12A motor in that I'm assuming that's why the four barrels were probably on that car to try and give it that sort of kick. But I don't, because mine didn't. Mine had a two barrel.
Yeah,
didn't have four barrel. But I do remember some sort of choke on it. Because I remember you'd pull it, fire it up, start the car, and it would automatically snap closed. Like you were driving, if you left it open and you left it up, you're driving, all of a sudden you'd hear it click, hit the dashboard. It would close on its own.
Yeah,
and that was 81. So
you know, we still had
30 years ago.
We have a friend who was big with the RXs. Our friend Gerard. I never had one, but I'm thinking like not being a strict internal combustion engine as we know it with pistons and all. The heat may not be there to operate a choke, so maybe that's why you would use a mechanical mechanical style choke.
Right,
that makes sense. So,
but. Getting parts for that car was a pain in the.
Imagine now. I wonder if there's like now it's a niche car. It's probably there's probably groups like certain other ones that I know of. There's probably a whole world around it where you can get stuff.
Yeah,
people have like hoarded or assembled the parts and whatnot. I don't know.
You got to join a group now. And I think that's probably going to be the savior of all of us in general, is group support. Because I don't think I could have done really most of, I could have done most of the work, but the knowledge and the time savings from reading the articles and, on the C-Body forum and having discussions with the guys, I really feel it was a benefit. And I think it's going to be our savior. I think you really can't just rely on your own gut anymore or your own knowledge on a lot of vehicles, especially when you have more than one. I really do think like, I guess if it's a Mustang or something like that, I'm not just trying to think of a car that there were so many and so simple at times. Like Mustang with a six is probably one of the easiest cars to restore. But I'm just thinking if there's any sort of difficulty that goes along with the vehicle or any sort of complexity, the group support is really the way out. And there are people, like you say, Ray, that have knowledge far beyond. There's always a car out there that there's one guy that knows everything about that car. Yeah. Like everything about that model car.
Yeah, but what bothers me now is I was on a couple forums in the recent past, and I just needed an answer to a question. And when I went on, what you find is now the influx of new guys are asking all the newbie questions still. Right. And it's hard to find I need the express lane for the guys who know what they're doing. That's what I need. Because I don't want to muddle through all the newbie stuff that's like, you know, I don't need that. I just want to know, like, tell me how to do this. You know, or if I get this part.
You need the express lane to knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what I use the search for. I go right now. When I go to the forum, the first thing I do is go to the search. I go headlight, door, motor. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. It all depends right. on how lucky you are.
Oh yeah. Luck has a lot to do with it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But that's what now is what we've come to. I mean, when did you really think that it was going to be possible that you would need a computer in your garage?
Oh, yeah.
I have a computer in my garage. I use my phone. I'm constantly searching. I'm constantly looking for answers to problems when before it used to be just trial and error and blowing stuff up. Now it's, holy smokes, before I do something really stupid, let me go to Dr. Google and see if, let me go to Techno Google and see what the answer could be.
That'll blow it up.
Right. And then you have to read between the lines because, like you say, there are those newbies that are doing it, messing it all up. And you're like, no, I'm not doing that. I think that's the difference between experience and novice is the fact that you can delineate what BS is on the internet compared to something, some information that you could draw from and use and something that's tangible. So
I need the Joe D page. It's like, all right, forum, and like there's a super secret password. You put that in, it's like Schwungella or whatever, or Schwungella, and it's like, bing, attention, Joe D, you got Joe D access to the fast lane. That's what I'm looking for. Because a lot of times people are coming to me for answers, and like none of us have all the answers.
No.
But, you know, yeah, out of my printer. Here we go.
There you go.
83 Chrysler. You know, I downloaded and printed all of the diagrams for this carburetor. And, you know,
did that come from Joe?
In a roundabout way, it did. If you remember when Joe first started coming on the show with us, he gave each of us a packet of CDs.
Yes.
That looked like records. All the information's on here. This is all scanned in Mitchell. You know, Mitchell Motors manuals and some motor manual stuff too. That's all the stuff out of those manuals. And it's invaluable. Almost everything I work on, I go to. I did it with the Corvette. I went to the 69 Corvex. I wanted to find information for the carburetor. Boom. And you can, you know, it opens up the PDFs. You can view it on your screen or your phone even. Well, it'll be hard on the phone because it's a CD, so you'd have to have the input. But, and then you can print it. You can just print it out and now take it out into the garage with you. So yeah, I rely on that stuff heavily. The only thing I wish is that it stops like in 82 sort of, you know, and right. It was like the transition years anyway with fuel injection and
sure. OBD1. Yeah.
But still for specifications, you know, I need version 2. And somebody, I don't know who, Joe would know. somebody took the time to literally scan all of those documents and wow. save them on those CDs. And it's a huge amount of information, but it's priceless.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that. It is incredibly priceless for that information that is dying off.
And I'll tell you why. In the years past, many years past, if you're working on a car with your headlight door problem or the carburetor problem that I was dealing with or whatever, and you couldn't figure it out, all right, if you were a decent enough mechanic, and I will use the term mechanic because I don't think it's a bad term like a lot of people do, you could go out to another car in the yard or your friend's house or and look at that one and say, okay, let me see what it is. Now that's, where are you going to go find another, car like yours with hidden headlights? That's not going to let you take apart.
Yeah.
You ain't going to do it.
No, it's the truth, and you're absolutely right. There are none. And
information is key.
Yeah, exactly. And pictures are even better.
Right.
But it has gotten to that point where these cars are becoming more and more difficult to work on, and we have to, as caretakers of these fine vehicles, I say that with tongue in cheek, that we have to step up our game. And get better at it.
You're right. Even on the restoration end, I found, you take a car apart, you're going to put it back together. Now, sometimes you need like the body assembly manual to figure out. I mean, you took all the trim off, all the clips, all of this, all of that. And now, like Paul had this problem. Pirate Paul, he sent me a picture while I was away. It was an odd shaped bracket. He says, "I found this in the trunk of my car." In his GTX, because I found this in the trunk of my car. He goes, "I have no idea where it goes. Do you have any idea?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not really a Chrysler guy." I said, "It looks like a bigger version of a gauge bracket." He goes, "No, it's actually bigger than that." And he has no idea where this thing goes. And I said, "Well, you need a body manual," and even that, like, to just start flipping pages. I mean, you can narrow it down, I guess. But,
oh my gosh.
It might not even belong to that car. You might have thrown it in the trunk because you had it in the garage and you just tossed it in there, And,
sure.
You throw a red herring at yourself. How many times have we done that?
Countless.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I told you about that time. There was a piece of junky plastic that sat in the back seat of the Chrysler. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where it came from. And then I realized that piece of plastic was the cover to the speaker. There's a speaker in the back seat, and it was the cover to it. But because it was a piece of cheap plastic, I thought it was junk, and I threw it out.
Right. Well, you know what else is getting thrown out? We are, because we're going to have to go.
Okay.
That time again. We'll be back again next week. So, Chris, what do we always tell people before we go?
Don't follow us home, especially those ex-girlfriends.
Exactly. So, for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, we'll be back again next week. Thanks to our program director, station manager, Chief Cheech in charge, and the guy who's watching the rain fall out of his house, Sean.
Yes.
With our interface.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes. And we'll be back next week to do it all over again. So we'll see you then on 90.3 WHPC.
See you,
bye. Bye.